This is Curiosity, in which WDET listeners ask questions about Detroit and we get answers. Jane Liedl wants to know who came up with the Detroit Lions' Honolulu Blue. To find out, I researched the team's history, which began not in Detroit, but in a small town in Ohio. Portsmouth, Ohio is almost 300 miles south of Detroit. You can drive there in about 5 hours. A century ago, it was a growing industrial town on the Ohio River. Drew Feit is a history professor at Shawnee State University in Portsmouth.
There was, you know, a steamboat construction and stuff like that, but we emerged as a manufacturer of iron and steel products.
Feit says, as Portsmouth grew, so did interest in football. The first professional league formed in Canton, Ohio in 1920 and eventually became the NFL.
Like a number of cities in Ohio this time, you see the emergence of sort of semi-pro football that kind of grew out of teams that were sponsored by the different industries.
The Portsmouth Spartans joined the NFL in 1930 and quickly became one of the league's best squads. In 1932, they took part in the NFL's first playoff game. They lost to the Chicago Bears. Portsmouth's success brought the team fame, but not fortune. Drew Feit says the Spartans never made a profit.
Ticket sales, as far as this market was concerned, was never large enough to really be able to pay the salaries for the emerging stars.
The Spartans owners sold the team to George Richards for $8,000 in 1934. Richards, who owned WJR Radio, renamed his new team the Lions and decided they needed new colors. He asked one of his players to help him replace Portsmouth's purple and gold. Glenn Presnell and his wife met Richards to discuss his contract. In a 1999 interview with journalist Bill Dow, who we'll meet later, Presnell recalled that conversation.
He said, "I want you to look over these jerseys, orange and black and red and white. And my wife and I saw the Honolulu blue and silver, and we said, that's the one we like." So he selected that.
But why Honolulu Blue? An old Lions media guide says owner George Richards chose that name because it reminded him of the ocean water he saw on a trip to Hawaii. Once he settled on the team's colors, Richards commissioned Wayne State University band director Graham T. Overgaard to feature them in a new fight song, Gridiron Heroes.
Hail the colors blue and silver, let them wave. Sing a song and cheer the gridiron heroes brave.
Success soon followed. The Lions won their first NFL championship in 1935. They wore blue and silver throughout the Great Depression and World War II. After back-to-back losing seasons post-war, they hired a new coach in 1948 to shake things up. And boy, did he.
In 1948, the Lions hired Bo McMillan.
That's Jason Akins, curator of collections at the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio. He says Bo McMillan came to the NFL after 14 seasons at Indiana University. Akins says McMillan thought the Lions would look better and play better in IU Crimson.
He switched the colors to red, red jerseys with the silver pants, and he kind of brought like more of the college mentality to the NFL. And for special games against special rivalries, he had the team wear black.
But the new colors didn't last long. Neither did Bo McMillan, who was replaced after three lackluster seasons. Buddy Parker took over in 1951, restoring the original colors and the roar. The Lions won back-to-back NFL championships in 1952 and 53. They earned another title under George Wilson in 1957, when they added white jerseys for away games. Journalist and historian Bill Dow collects Lions memorabilia, and I asked him to bring some to the radio station.
This is Wayne Walker's jersey.
Is that one he actually wore?
Yes, yep. Likely from 1972. When you were at Tiger Stadium, especially, and you'd see the Lions run out in these blue uniforms, it was just gorgeous.
Dow then unveils a team sweater from the 1950s and points out a difference in the shade.
And this color of Honolulu blue is more like the original hue from 1934 that the Lions used. It's a little deeper blue.
Yeah, I see that.
Yeah.
That deeper blue returned in 1994 when the Lions wore throwback uniforms to celebrate the NFL's 75th anniversary. The outfits resembled those of the 1935 world champions. The team wore home blues and road whites exclusively until 2005, when then-team president Matt Millen brought black uniforms back. The NFL allowed teams to wear a third color jersey for no more than two regular season games, so the Lions didn't don the black tops often. They lasted three seasons. But now, black is back again, thanks to head coach Dan Campbell, who wore the color when he played in Detroit. Team president Rod Wood says he hopes the third time is the charm.
And we're in the draft room. Hey, Rod, when can we get the black jerseys back? And I said, I'll make a deal. When you win the division, I'll bring the black jerseys back.
Wood made good on that promise after the Lions won the NFC North in 2023. He and the rest of the front office modeled the new black jerseys during the 2024 NFL draft in Detroit. Bill Dow's reaction? Meh.
I don't really like the black uniforms, and when the Lions wore them, they were not successful at all.
Whether black will overshadow the Lions' recent success remains to be seen, but fans can expect to see the Honolulu blue and silver wave in Detroit for years to come.
Lions victory! Go Lions!
The Lions have worn Honolulu blue and silver ever since they arrived in Detroit 90 years ago. Before that, they played in Portsmouth, Ohio. That team was called the Spartans, and their colors were purple and gold. As part of our Curiosity episode on the history of the Lions' colors, I spoke with Drew Feit. He teaches history at Shawnee State University in Portsmouth. Feit says, like many cities on the Ohio River, Portsmouth played a key role in America's steel and shipping industries in the early 20th century.
By the 1920s, Portsmouth was, a pretty booming economic hub for the region, a major railroad, site, lots of railroad jobs. And, like a number of cities in Ohio this time, you see the emergence of sort of semi-pro football that kind of grew out of, teams that were sponsored by the different industries, So the origins of the Detroit Lions really is in the, semi-pro football teams of Portsmouth, Ohio. Their first season, they were a semi-pro team. Second season, they got their franchise from the NFL. And that involved pretty much a deal to build a stadium. And so that was sort of the condition, if you have you need a stadium before we'll give you a franchise. And so you had ultimately the beginning of the construction of what is now known as Spartan Municipal Stadium, which is where the Spartans played up until 33-34. When they were sold to Detroit.
Yeah, what happened there? I know that G.A. Richards, who was a big radio owner up here in Detroit, bought the team. Was it just something that he wanted a franchise and he just wanted to move it? Was it hard to sustain an NFL team in Portsmouth?
The big debate in Portsmouth history is, why did we lose the Spartans, right? And, there's different theories, but one is there's often a comparison made between the Green Bay Packers and the Portsmouth Spartans, because the Green Bay Packers survived and, continue to today. And so there's this idea that maybe, and they're the smallest market, in pro football. So, was that something that could have been possible for Portsmouth? But it ultimately gets to really the problem that Portsmouth faced, and that was that ticket sales, as far as its market was concerned, was never large enough to really be able to pay the salaries for the emerging stars, that they were able to recruit, but ultimately they weren't able to make a profit. So they actually never made a profit any of the years that the Spartans existed. And it coincided with really the worst days of the Depression. So there's been debate over, was it the Depression that is to blame? And I think there are those who continue to kind of make that argument. But, there was an attempt to do a similar stock sale, to try to save the Spartans. But, it didn't come through. And, you know, whether you can blame that on the Depression or not, it's debatable. But Harry Snyder, the owner who owned the most shares when it was sold, when they sold it, he said, look, it was not because of the Depression. It's the market size and the cost of the contracts, particularly for stars like Dutch Clark, you know, who ultimately went on to, you know, to Detroit as well.
How did the move from Portsmouth affect the city?
Interestingly, as far as the stadium is concerned, the plans that were in the works before the team was sold went forward. In other words, the design of the stadium, it was designed for, you know, for an NFL franchise and for the Spartans. But what happened was that the owner, Harry Snyder, he was the majority owner. The business plan was that they would basically finish construction of the stadium using the ticket sales. So when that didn't work out, what you had was basically an unfinished stadium that a plan was put together to go to the WPA, the Works Progress Administration. And ultimately it was actually a Works Progress Administration construction project that finished it. And so, you know, the concrete stadium today, didn't look exactly like it did when the Spartans were playing there. Basically you had all the concrete foundation, for it, the concrete box seats and all that. Today the box seats are up top, but back in the early days, the box seats were actually right down on the ground level almost.
Who do the folks in Portsmouth, which NFL teams do they root for these days?
Yeah, good question. Well, there's always a group of folks that, of course, champion the Detroit Lions, right? You know, those of us in the know, right? You know, we continue to support the Spartans through the through the Lions. You know, we even joke that it really was the Portsmouth Spartans that won the 1935 championship for Detroit. And part of the sort of local lore here is that in the championship game, underneath their pads, they were wearing their old Spartan clothing. At the heart of that team were these former, you know, Portsmouth Spartans that won the championship.
So you're not too far from Cincinnati, so you probably have some Bengals fans.
Yes. So we got Bengals fans and Browns fans. That's really the big divide. And then there are a few of the Pittsburgh Steelers fans, you know, because we're on the river, downriver from Pittsburgh, you could say. That's my theory. But primarily it's Bengals or Browns. And then everybody kind of, when Detroit, like, this past year, you know, got as far as they did, we were all rooting for you. There was a gathering at a place called Stadium Lunch, which is next to Spartan Stadium, and we had a game watch party there. So great first half.
Drew Feit is a history professor at Shawnee State University in Portsmouth, Ohio. If you have a colorful question, send it to us at wdet.org/curious. For Curiosity, I'm Pat Batchelor.